Hey, you know what time it is?
What?
It's time for New Every Day.
Got mad skills? Now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Welcome back, Jen. You asked a very good question on today's show. What does it actually mean to be a fisher of men? So the past two episodes we've talked about Matthew 4 verse 19, where Jesus says to his first disciples, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And he was speaking to fishermen.
Yes.
So what does it actually mean to be a fisher of men? I think it's just really interesting that he used that verse, Jen, because it was a context that they could understand.
Right.
So they were used to fishing for fish, and he says, no, I want you to fish for men. So how do you take that verse?
Well, for the longest time, as I said, you'll have to go back a few shows and watch them in order, but I said, for the longest time, I went, I don't know how to fish for people. That's just really scary.
I can't even fish for fish.
Yes. Oh, mind you. First time I ever went fishing, caught 17.
Minnows?
No.
Sunfish?
Yes.
Okay.
And
that's great.
And the guy that I was with, I caught way more than he did.
Okay.
I think it was beginner's luck. But anyways, the thing is, I learned, I knew that you needed to put bait on a hook.
Yeah.
And I knew you needed to drop the hook in the line, mm-hmm. in the water.
Correct.
In order to actually catch fish.
Yep.
But all I ever caught was sunfish and maybe two very small bass. So I knew how to do that. But I see some of my friends and they catch these like humongous fish. And I'm like, how do they do that? Like, how? And I'm like, and here I go. I put my fish on the hook
and
poop and ploop. And there I am, waiting, and what do I catch?
Sunfish.
So when you ask the question, what does it mean to fish for men? For the longest time, I, first of all, was scared of that verse, and I just thought, I don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know how to fish for men.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons why we've chosen to walk through this passage before just diving into this last part of what does it mean to be a fisher of men, because we needed to examine first who extends the invitation. It's Jesus who extends the invitation. So if Jesus extends it to us, that means he's genuinely wanting us to come. And secondly, that he genuinely believes that we can do it. And then that second part is, I'm actually going to have to give up. We're counting the cost. I'm going to have to give up something to follow Christ. So not only does he call me and believes that I can do it, I'm going to have to give up something in order to do it.
Right.
So here we get to that last part of the verse, and I will make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, we can do it because of who calls us and what we give up. We can genuinely fish for men. But how? I guess is the question that I come around to now is, well, how do I actually fish for men?
I guess when you talk about real fishermen, so the fishermen that I know, because I also cannot fish, or I haven't really tried, they go to where the fish are. So if they want to fish for trout, you're going to go to a particular river. I think trout live in river, but I don't know.
I don't know.
It's water.
This is...
See, we don't know. But if you want to fish for muskie, you're going to go up to like Lake Scugog, right? So it's totally different environments. And that makes me think of my friend, actually, who let's talk about Jared and Leah.
Okay.
So we have mutual friends, Jared and Leah Mortley, and they actually work for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship.
Right.
So they are, right now, they work in the Toronto area, and they go into high school. So they go to a particular group of individuals. Mm-hmm. They make connections there. They start Bible studies, and then they introduce people to Christ that way, largely mm-hmm. through relationships, through teaching them scripture.
Yes.
And actually, they sent out an update talking about being a fisher of men, eh, Jen?
Well, they did, and that's what made this really cool today, as we were talking about what do we want to talk about. And then I got this update, and I'm like, Carrie, you've got to read this. Mm-hmm. And it says, the title of their letter actually says, Fish for People.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, hundreds of students roam the halls daily, and we were able to catch some of them on their way by. Each of the schools we work at had 15 to 20 new people signed up at Clubs Day who are interested in joining the Christian Fellowship Group. Central Tech, which is a school in Toronto, has decided to call their group The Net, based on the passage where Jesus calls James, Peter, and John to follow him and fish for people. Fishing isn't always easy. It might be the wrong time or a bad day, and you might not know when to pack up and go home. Things were especially difficult today. The teacher sponsor at Central Tech was sick, and leaders of the group were busy doing lunch, during lunch. So Leah was left by herself, unsure of what to do. There happened to be one student hanging out after class who was interested but hesitant to do a Bible study because she was Muslim. Leah invited her to take a look at the life of Jesus and started a Bible study with her, and she even said yes to coming back next week. On her way out of the school, Leah saw Jenny, who was late for the club. She was disappointed. The meeting was canceled, especially since she was feeling sick and would have stayed home. This opening gave Leah an opportunity to talk to her and take her for lunch and learn more about her life and pray for her. The blessing was returned when this young girl offered and prayed for Leah. God works in surprising ways and has plans for people we couldn't even have imagined.
You know, that story, that update from Jared and Leah, they went to a particular group, right? Mm-hmm. They felt God drawing them into ministry, in particular with youth. So they went to that area. You got to go where the fish are.
Yes.
Where people don't believe.
Yes.
And, you know, they don't get caught up in the details because Leah just showed up, made herself available. I know that she has a relationship with God, that she asks him for guidance and seeks him. And then see, he opened up those opportunities for her.
Yeah.
Just by being there.
Yes.
And when we talk about bait, and that sounds bad because you're not trying to win an individual just to have them join the club.
Right.
Or to say, oh yes, I've saved this many souls, or I've drawn this many people to the church. That's not what it's about. But in talking about using bait,
mm-hmm.
I think one of the greatest attractions to Christianity is actually a transformed life by the love of Christ.
Right.
And I know in my family, when my mom and I came to Christ first, and I shared a little bit about this, my mom and I came to Christ first, and then my dad and my brother after that, and now my little brother too, so yay God. But it was the transformed life of my mother
mm-hmm.
because she shared the gospel with my dad. And he was like, yeah, that's nice. That's good for you. But right. it's not for me. But it was her life and the way that she then treated her mother-in-law, whom they had been at odds with.
Right.
They'd been at odds with each other. It was the love of Christ in her that equipped her to love my grandmother. And my dad saw that. And that was kind of the first time that he thought, there's really something to this gospel because I see the impact on her life and he's changing her for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a bait, if you will, Jen.
Right. It's, one, you have to go to where the people are. So if you feel that God is calling you to a certain group of people, then you have to be where they are. Secondly, what is it that makes Well, the gospel is attractive because of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have never tried chocolate cake, you don't know what it tastes like. And it just sits there on the counter. And if you've never had that experience, then you have no idea. Like, nobody's actually told you.
Yeah, you just don't know.
You just don't know. Like, you actually need someone to try it. So what is the bait? Well, the bait is then Carrie saying, Jen, I've had this before. You know, it's really good. You're really going to like, right? And then mm-hmm. I taste it. I'm like, oh, because I trust Carrie. But she went out of her way to build a relationship with me. And so I trust her. So then I'm more apt to actually listen to what she has to say because I've seen the fruit of it in her life. Just like your mom started loving your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, your dad saw that and was transformed. Like, we need to, first of all, I think you're right. The bait is a changed life.
Yes. And, but we're not drawing someone in
no.
just to life enhancement, right?
No,
come and have a, come and have a better life. Try this chocolate cake. It's going to be better than any cake you ever tried.
Right.
You know, that's not what we're calling people to, because that's not what Jesus was calling them
no.
to. He said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. He says, you're joining a kingdom. Come, pick up your cross and follow me. Start loving other people.
Yeah.
And they saw, the disciples followed him, and they saw the life that he lived. So I think that can sometimes be a bit of a stumbling block for Christians, especially trying to evangelize other people, that they say, come and you're going to have peace, you're going to have joy, you're going to have patience, you're going to have love, he's going to restore your relationships. And yes, God does that. But that's the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yes.
And as we love him and follow him and daily have a relationship with him, realizing who we are in Christ and realizing who Jesus is as the Lord,
yeah,
those things are a natural outworking. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But right. that's not a legitimate draw card to Christianity.
Right.
Although I feel that God does use that, like he did use in my mom's life,
right.
to bring dad, or at least soften his heart towards who Jesus was. Because when you look at the fruits of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
those are attributes of Christ. So
yeah.
if we're becoming Christians or little Christs,
yeah.
then we should be exemplifying. We should be manifesting those things that Christ did, those his characteristics, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because ultimately, we want people to be in relationship
yeah.
with Jesus. Well, that's what Jesus wants.
Yeah.
He genuinely wants to be in relationship with people. And part of, well, our job, it's not part of our job. Our job is to tell people about the relationship we have with Jesus. And so it's like, okay, well, how do we do that? And so that's why it says, I will make you fishers of men. I will teach you how to share love with people. I will teach you about patience and waiting. Because as I was talking with one of my friends last night about what does it mean to be a fisherman, he said, well, first of all, you have to know what kind of fish you're going for, right? And I'm like, okay, well, so we've talked about that. What kind of fish are we going for youth? And sometimes it's your family. As in your mom's case, it was her family. If you have people around you in your immediate family who do not know Jesus, that's what you're trying to catch. For lack of a better word, that's who you immediately have to witness to. Your kids, your husband, your wife, your parents, your siblings. Those are first and foremost, I want to say, in your pool. They are in your pool. So your job then is say, okay, Lord, you've put these people in my life. I love them and you love them even more. So could you help me be, you know, help me love them well. Help me tell them about who you are. And may you be so alive in me that it just oozes out of who I am. Because your family's going to know you best. They're going to know if it's the real thing. And we've talked about this a few times. And help me not to be a spiritual snooty pants.
Don't be a spiritual snooty pants. It's
because
a big turn off.
It is. And especially in your own family.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear again and again, well, you know, if you'd only serve Jesus, then this wouldn't happen. And if you'd pray about it, or if you read your Bible, or if you just come, like, with that attitude, they're going to be like, there's no way I want that. And
yeah.
that's part of knowing how to bait the hook, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
are you baiting it with poison and mm-hmm. rules and regulations, or are you genuinely baiting it with love?
Mm.
and kindness and compassion? Or does your family constantly feel like you are, if they come near to you, that it'll feel like sandpaper, like you're rubbing against them, making them raw rather than drawing them in? And I even caught myself this week being a spiritual snooty pants towards my cousin. And he had said, you know, when I read this book, I really think this. And I was like, really? Because when I read it, I think this. And I caught myself. Yes. Because he's really smart and I wanted
to be smart.
I wanted
You're
to be smart.
Smart. Jen, you're really smart.
But I'm like, well, I'll just, you know, show him what I know. But I was being a spiritual snooty pants. I'm like, I was not baiting the hook in love. Mm. I was baiting it in pride and, you know, selfishness. And I wasn't trying to build him up. I was trying to prove how important I was and how much I knew. I'm like, that's not baiting the hook. So that's one of the things is, how do you actually bait the hook? And it has to be baited in love.
In love.
And in true desire for that person.
To encounter the living God.
Yes. Yes. So who's in your pool, right? Mm. So, you know, at school, if you're a young person, you're attending school, then they're in your pool. So how do you share the love of Christ with those people that you sit beside at school, or you sit on the bus, or in your family? They're a part of your pool. If you go to, you know, if you have a job outside of your home, then your coworkers are part of your pool. And this past Sunday, I was talking about the book of Nehemiah, which we'll probably get to around in some
Christmas.
And I said, well, you know, Nehemiah had the dedication service on top of the wall so they could declare to the world how faithful God was. So we're actually called to declare to the world how faithful God is. Mm. And that includes the people at work. Like, mm-hmm. Do you share with people at work in a kind, loving, compassionate way about what the difference God has made in your heart? And a couple gentlemen after service said to me, you know what, that's really hard.
Oh, they came up and told you that?
Yeah. Well, we were having a supper together. And they just said, when you said that, it really struck me. Because in a secular environment where Christianity is certainly not welcome for the most part, to share your faith can be quite scary. And what does this mean for your job? And then how do you actually do it? And I think that's part of the problem, is we actually don't know how to bait the hook. We don't know how to package it, right? Because we have in our mind those preconceived ideas of, like, Bible thumping over the head, you know, repent and be baptized or else you're going to hell, right? And yet, that's not what Christ calls us to. He calls us to love them. So how do we actually share the good stuff that's happening, the love of Christ, without, I want to say, dumbing down the gospel, right? Because, you know, like, it's not about making it all simple and easy, but how do we actually be genuine followers of Christ to the people that are in our pools, so that then it provides an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move through and to impact them? Like, how are we doing at baiting the hook?
That's a really good question. And I was just reading in 2 Corinthians 5, here we go, verse 19 to 20 and 21. And Paul is speaking here, and he says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God was in Christ when he was reconciling the world to himself. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we are now the righteousness of God. And I like that verse because it says, God was in Christ, and now Christ is in us. And we are there for ambassadors, imploring other people to be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. And I think, I feel like when we're talking to other people, what generates conversation is born out of relationship. So if I'm not married, I cannot confidently talk about one who I am in relationship with, because there is no relationship. I can't confidently talk about a marriage relationship because I'm not married. So, okay, this is embarrassing. But when I was in my late teens, and I was going into a Canadian Tire, and there was a woman was doing a survey and trying to get people to sign on to have a Canadian Tire credit card. And then I was like, I just want to get in and get out. For whatever reason, I lied to her. And she said, I married or single? And I was like, married. I said married.
Carrie.
So stupid, right? Yeah, dumb. And then she started asking more questions, and I had to, like, build on this. Oh, yeah, Jen.
Carrie.
That's so bad. Why would I say that?
I don't know.
I know. So then I had to build on that, but I couldn't talk about a relationship that didn't exist.
Right.
Right? Case in point. Anyways, got rid of the credit card. I repented. That was so crazy. But I couldn't talk about something that wasn't real.
Right.
So if you don't have a real relationship with Christ, you can't talk about it. So if I'm not spending time daily with him, I can't confidently talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yes. If we are not spending time daily with Christ, then you're putting a hook into the water with nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to look and say, what difference is Christ making in your life? Like, there's, why would I want to latch on to that? Because there's nothing there for me. We're not talking about what we think is a hook, like the metal silver hook with the little owie. And you're like, why would anybody want to be latched onto that? That's painful. They're going to die, right? But we're in the Christian life, the hook is actually eternal life in Christ. It's relationship with Jesus. It's something that you want, when in essence, it says that you need to die to yourself in order to receive the life that Christ gives you. So the eternal life really is the hook.
Mm-hmm.
It's life with Christ. But the bait is what you put on the hook so that people will come to know about life with Christ and mm-hmm. what that means. And so often, one of the things that we hear about is, oh, well, the Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. They gossip. They hate each other. They tear down one another. Like, why would I even want to become a Christian when, you know, they don't practice what they preach, per se? And so going back to what Carrie said about relationship, one of the key things in order that we might be fishers of men, one of the key things we need to do is make sure that we are spending time with the Lord, that we are allowing him to transform and renew us, so that the old really is gone and the new really does come. Because when people see that, when they see that kind of bait on the hook where they go, wow, she loves well, or wow, he's generous, or wow, he helps out all the time, then you have an opportunity to actually tell them about, well, the hope of glory that you have inside yourself, which is Jesus.
And sometimes, you know, we do stumble. Like, I think of in the book of Acts, when Paul kind of calls out Peter, because Peter, you know, they're talking about the inclusivity of mm-hmm. Christ, right? Gentiles or non-Jews and Jews, everyone is welcome into this kingdom of God. And so Peter, when some Jews came to visit, he got all scared and he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. And so Paul called him out on it. He's like, hey, you don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
He's like, the gospel's for everybody. Jesus died for everybody. Essentially saying, you know, what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
But Jesus, like, God didn't stop using Peter just because that one episode of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
He still used him.
Yes.
You just carry on. God can, you know, there's another verse in Acts where there was an early Christian named Apollos. And Paul and Apollos, they were working together. And some people were like, I follow Paul or I follow Apollos and his teaching. And Paul was like, hey, at the end of the day, I might plant a seed. Apollos waters it. But God causes the increase.
Yes.
And people, your family, your friends might look at your life and you might be just someone who waters the seed that's been planted in someone's life by the word of God.
Yes.
Right? Someone hears the gospel, the word, the seed is planted, and you might be someone who just comes along and waters. Maybe that's helping them move, right? Hey, that person, they were really kind, they helped me move. Or maybe that's giving them a meal. Whatever that might be. It's just pieces in the puzzle that God uses, right?
Yeah. So this week, we encourage you to take a look at your bait. Who's in your pool? Who's in your pool? Are you there with them? And then to look at your bait. And then next week, we're going to talk about the actual act of catching a fish.
Awesome. Okay, have a great week. Thanks for tuning in to New Every Day. Go to our website. Check out neweveryday.tv. We've got some awesome partners with us. Click on our partners page, Dollar Shave Club. You can get some awesome, thank you, awesome razors for really cheap. All sorts of crazy things on there. So go check it out.
Yeah.
You can watch older episodes on our website as well if you want to get caught up on this Fishers of Men study.
So. Yes, so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May you sense His presence around you, guiding and directing you, and may you step into the pool this week.
Have a great week.
Good chat.
Bye.